Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's all I can say. To God be the glory. Everything. You know, the Mexican missionaries got it good. They come over here once a year. We got to wait 2 years to get our batteries recharged. So we are really dead. We come back and we get our batteries recharged. This is where we get our batteries recharged. This is great. It's been a blessing. It's been great. It's been fun. I've been loving it, but pray for me. I'm going home in a couple weeks to a wife that I've been away for 5 weeks. So pray for me. I'm gonna be dead. If I wasn't dead, I'm gonna really be dead now, leaving her for 5 weeks. So she's already upset, thinking, "You're not gonna do this again to me." 5 weeks is a little bit too much for her. Well, praise the Lord. God is good. God has blessed me very, very much. I am very blessed. Nothing to complain about. Nothing to complain about. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
I know whom I've believed in. I know what my purpose is. And God has redeemed me. And that is the greatest thing a person can be, to know. I thank God that I know where I'm going when I die. If you're here, you do not know where you're going to go when you die. You will be hearing a lot of messages pertaining to evangelism, which will make you think and make you realize, do you know? Are you prepared? Now, my subject tonight that I want to speak on isn't pertaining directly to the gospel per se. But what I do want to say is I'm going to be talking about your heart. I want to be talking to your heart. Because that's where everything lies. That's where it all begins. That's where it began when you got saved. It's in your heart. That's what God had to grab and take hold of and to shape for you to become saved. Until you understood in your heart that you were far from Him on the road to hell. The moment you realize your state with your heart, you understood you needed a Savior. And you repented of your sins if you're saved today. That is exactly what happened. Now, if you're saved tonight, I'm going to be talking to the heart because I want you to be ready. Are you ready? Is my stuff that I want to be talking about tonight. Turn to a field of Psalms 57. Psalms 57. Came across this verse. Touched my heart. I'll be talking about a heart tonight. It touched my heart. Psalms 57, verse 7 says, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do want to praise you tonight. We lift your name on high. You are worthy to be praised. We thank you, Father, for all you have done. Thank you for this evening, for my brothers and sisters who are gathered here. Lord, I do pray that you will touch to our hearts. Lord, I do pray that you'll make us sensitive to your word. That we may understand you, Lord, that we may get right with you if we are far away from you. Lord, I do pray that you will just do a mighty work with all of us, within myself. Lord, I do pray that you will be praised and be glorified in all that we do. May your name be praised in Jesus' name. Amen. My heart is fixed is what we have here. Now, we may not understand that old language. It's in the dictionary. If you have one, it works. Can be pertained to prepared. My heart is prepared. Let's say ready. Also has a definition of firm, unmovable, established, set. My heart is fixed. Now, David is making a statement to himself. My heart is fixed. I've made a commitment to you, God.
Amen.
My heart is fixed. I'm not wishy-washy. I'm not in between things. I am fixed. I am ready. I have prepared my heart for you, God. Not for myself. My heart is fixed, O God. That's what he says. What is your heart fixed on? What is your heart set on? What is your heart prepared for? For God? Or this world? Does this world draw your attention? Does this world attract you? Oh, this world does attract. The devil knows exactly where your weaknesses lie, and he will put them in your path every single minute of your life. Every single moment, he'll do anything in his power to distract you from the God. He will. He knows. How much does this world attract you? Careers? Houses? Cars? Gadgets? All these things are nice and not wrong in themselves. But if our heart is fixed on those things rather than on God, there is a problem. There is a problem. If we spend more money on a new car than we do on supporting this church, supporting praying, or whatever, then something's wrong with that. I'm sorry. Your priorities have gone twisted. David had his priorities straight. He said, my heart is fixed, oh God. He's praying to the Lord, talking about himself. I'm ready for you, Lord. I am ready for you. My heart is fixed on you, Lord. Maybe your heart is fixed on yourself. And we are very selfish people. We think about ourselves. Me. My food. Yeah? We pamper ourselves very nicely. But we forget. That stuff profiteth little. You are here for a purpose. Ephesians 4:1 says you have been called. God has called you. And if you're saved, I'm not saying God has called you to the mission field. I'm praying that somebody will surrender. But God has called you to a work. Every single person, there's not a single person in this room that is saying that God has not called to do something for him. Even little children can pass out tracts. To the oldest generation, they can witness and pray. There's always something that you can do for him. But the fact is your heart fixed on God, not on yourself. We have to stop being selfish. How selfless are you? How much are you willing to forget about yourself and think of others? See, that's difficult, to think of others above yourself. People think that that's a sign of weakness. No, that's a sign of a Christian who's understood the importance of loving others more than themselves. And that is exactly what I see with David as he speaks about this. This one little verse says so much. One little word actually fixed. I'm fixed on you. I'm praying that tonight your heart is set on the Lord. It's fixed on the Lord. If you turn to Colossians 3:2. Turn, if you would, to Colossians 3:2. Very important verse. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. That's important. That is something we rarely practice, including myself. We do not like to set our affections on things that are godly because we do not see the fruit right away. We like to go out and get our gadgets. We like to go out and get our things. We like to go out and get our clothing and everything's wonderful and beautiful. But if we think about those things only and we do not set our affections on things above where there is no rust, there is no thieves, eternal blessings. If we thought about that, you'd be blessed. Now, here he's giving a command. Set your affections. Not a question. It's not a begging. You want to be blessed? You want to have riches eternal? Set your affection on things above. Think about what's up there. Think about what's going to happen when you give yourself completely to God. Think about all that God can do through you. God can use every one of you for His glory. And if we all together, one-minded in one body, gave ourselves to God and let God use us for His glory, not for ourselves, can you just imagine what we could do for Him? Can you just imagine what changes we could bring out within ourselves, with our family, with people around us, this city, and all across the world? If we would just do that, and set our affections on things above, we can just change. God could use us in a mighty way. Set your things, your affection on godly things, righteousness, things that I have actually have value in them.
Amen.
True value. Thinking about this verse, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I thought about one thing. For a heart to be prepared, it has to be worked on. You know, like food. Food has to be prepared. That food we had today was wonderful. Somebody had to cook it. Somebody had to prepare it. It had to have been worked on. Now, a heart just doesn't magically appear after salvation. People would love to have that. Just have the right heart, poof, immediately. Oh yeah, everything works, everything's perfect, everything lines up, just the way I thought about it would. That's how some people think about salvation. Hey, everything's going to be wonderful. No, that's not the way it is. It's hard work. Food doesn't prepare itself. Your heart will not prepare itself. You have to work on it. You have to set your mind on changing yourself. That means you have to look deeply into your own heart and judge yourself. And that's a scary thought. Very few of us are willing to look so deeply because we're scared to find out. And we're scared of changing. Now be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. God knows your heart. There's nothing that you can hide from Him. We're scared that we'd have to change our lifestyle. And that hurt. That scares us. And that hurts us. But that here, we have a verse that says, my heart is fixed. What have you done to prepare your heart? What have you done to get your heart ready and get your heart set in the Lord? Anything for Him? Now I know to some of you I'm preaching to the choir, but not everybody. And even those of you who do, there's always room for improvement.
Amen.
You never got to the point where you said, okay, I've arrived. There's nothing else I can do. I've gone to the point where I've done everything. I bet you, I'm going to show the oldest person. I'm not going to point any fingers in this room. But even the oldest person in this room, can, if they're honest and says, you know what? I have so much more to learn.
Yeah.
You just never, we'll know everything when we get to heaven. We'll know everything when we get up there. It's just a thought that you have to just add to yourself. Ask yourself, what am I doing to prepare my heart for God? What am I doing? Am I praying enough? Am I reading enough? Am I giving enough? Am I working enough? Am I growing enough? Oh, you could just go on, add the list, and add on to the growing list, and you'll never get exactly to the point where you say, I've got to the end. Because there's always something we have to work on. And when the things we actually figured out, eventually we'll forget and we have to work on that again because we forgot about it. We're always working. We're so forgetful. It's so disgusting. So what are you prepared to do for God? What are you prepared to do for God? Are you prepared to work for the Lord? Are you prepared to work? That means everyone can do something. Preach, share, clean, be hospitable. There are so many things that you can do for God's glory.
Amen.
You can do so much for God. But sometimes we think, well, what about me? And we're like, you know, like Peter, well, what about him? I don't like that idea, but what? Forget about them. Think about you. Concentrate on yourself. Concentrate. Let God take care of them. You take care of yourself. Do something. Are you doing enough for Him? If you're doing something, are you doing it enough? Are you doing it as often as you should? You know, I think about how much God has actually done for us. And I wonder why we are so lazy for Him. Think about that. How much God has done for you to give you eternal life? He sacrificed. He sent His Son. He sent His Son so we, lazy, good-for-nothing sinners, might have eternal life and go to heaven. Why would He choose you? I have no idea. I wouldn't. But God did. So what are we doing? Sitting on our couches, being couch potatoes, watching our NCISs and all of our wonderful shows and programs that are coming out this fall. I know. You see, we're trying to be like, this fall, coming up, whoa, yes, I'm going to be at this fall. I'm going to be sitting, I know where I'm going to be this fall. How about to say, you know what? This evening, this week, this year, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to set my heart in God.
Amen.
Forget about this fall. Think about tonight.
Amen.
Tomorrow night. Forget about this world. This world does nothing for you. All this world ever gave you was heartache and trouble and pain. And you think that this world is going to eventually change someday just because you stuck with it? No. It will never change. This world belongs to the devil. You can tell it's going that way. It's getting worse. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Are you ready to work? Are you ready to grow? My brothers and sisters, are you ready to grow? That's a real interesting thought, isn't it? Wow. God, we are a human being. We are a living creation. And look at the world, you see a living creation. It grows. And if you are not growing, something's wrong with you. That's unnatural. That's unnatural to see a 30-year-old man acting like a baby. Some people do. That's unnatural. It's disgusting. It shouldn't be. Are you growing? God did not call us to be babies all of our lives, to be fed with milk. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to multiply. Spiritual baby. He wants to be fruitful for Him. But what are we doing? So many Christians that I see around the world, we are so lazy that we just go to Sunday, go on Wednesday, Sunday night, maybe. Wednesday night, very rarely. And we just are complacent. Satisfied. We filled our little spiritual void, and we're fine. There is no growth. If you're truly saved, God wants you to grow. Look at 2 Peter 3. Look at 2 Peter 3. You want a growth chart? Here you go. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Where am I going? 2 Peter? Yeah. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Actually, my growth chart's later on. I'll get to it in a little bit. I jumped ahead a little bit. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. Not stay the same. There should be, year by year, a steady incline, not decline. You should be growing. You should be doing better. You should be doing more, not less. Not less and less and less and say, you know what, I'm just too busy. Look, people are always busy. Paul was busy. People are always doing something, but you know what? It's so much better to be busy for the Lord than be busy for yourself. We're so selfish. We go back to that point. Now, let's go look at the growth chart. 2 Peter 1, that's where it's at. 5. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. These are steps. And these are things we must learn. These are things that do not come naturally. They do not come naturally because these are things that you have to become selfless. Forget about yourself and think of others. But that's the thing. We don't like that idea. We have to grow. Are you ready? Are you ready to grow for Him? Are you prepared? My last point, are you ready to live for Him? To live. I did not say Are you ready to die for him? Did I? You know, people say, I'm ready to die for him. Peter said, I'm ready to die for him. And that's good and dandy. But we don't live in the days whenever, you know, we're having that sort of tribulation and problems. Thank God for freedom. Thank God for that. But that does not say that we should not say, I'm ready to live for him. Now, we say we're ready to die because we know that's generally not going to happen. We know generally, you know what? That just doesn't happen. You know, God's going to protect me. I'm going to preach or I'm going to do something and I'm just not going to just die for... That just doesn't happen nowadays. But to live for Christ, that's a little harder to do. That's a little harder. Because that means I can actually put some effort. I actually got to put some thought into my daily routine. What am I doing? And that hurts. We don't like to think too much. I can tell. Thinking is not our strong point. Some people, I was thinking. Yep, that's your problem. You were thinking. Why don't you stop that? You're going to hurt yourself. But you know what? When we think about living, we think about for me, my family. Yes, I live. Yes, they're my pride and joy. That's my life. But is God your life? If you're saved, He is your life. But you're not acting like it. Act like it. Show it. Prove it to people around you that God is your life. That you live for Him and Him only and not yourself. Live for Him. Are you ready to live for Him? Is my plea tonight. How should we live for Him? How should we do that? Well, let's turn to the Bible. Don't listen to me. 1 Timothy. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy. Titus. I was close. Titus. Chapter 2. 2:12. Let's start from 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Apply that. Apply that to your heart. And you'll be ready. Apply that to your heart. And you'll be like David. I am fixed. My heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed. David at the end said, I will sing and give praise. I will sing and give praise. I know whom I believed in. You can almost probably hear that coming up next. I know that I have. I know that God is. That will always be there. I have been young, but now I'm old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I know that God will always protect me. He was there. That is why my heart is fixed on Him. That is why I am ready to sing and to praise Him and to become selfless for Him. Because He has done so much for me. Are you ready? Are you ready to grow? Are you ready to work? Are you ready to live for Him? Amen.